There's this story that you probably never heard before. Maybe a year or two ago, I don't know. Where there are these three guys who are hiking, and they unexpectedly come upon this large, raging, violent river. And the problem was that they needed to get across to the other side, but they had absolutely no idea how to do it. So the first man prayed to God and prayed, God, please give me the strength to cross this river. And poof, he had some big old Popeye arms and big strong legs, and he started swimming across the river, you know, and he almost drowned a couple of times, but he finally got across after about 2 hours. Well, the second guy, seeing how the first man prayed to God, said, hey, I'm going to pray to God. So he prays to God. He says, please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river. And poof, God gave him some big old Popeye arms, strong body, and a rowboat. And he was able to row across the river in about an hour after almost capsizing a couple times. Well, the third man, again, see how all this worked. And he thought, well, I know. I'm going to pray to God too. And so he prayed, please, God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river. And poof, God turned him into a woman. And she went ahead and found someone nearby and asked for directions. And was told that just a couple of hundred yards upriver was a bridge. You know, sometimes we have to be careful what we pray for. Still, that shouldn't stop us from praying to God about things. You know, I suppose that for a good number of people, prayer is a bit of a mystery to them, you know. And while those who believe in prayer pray, a lot of people tend to not pray all that much. As a matter of fact, one survey that I found said that the average Christian only spends about 4 minutes a day in prayer. Still, whatever our objections or our struggles or our uncertainties are about prayer, that doesn't change the fact that as disciples of Jesus, we are to pray like Jesus. Think about it. If we're going to be the kind of disciples who make disciples like Jesus, then we need to pray like Jesus. And Jesus, we're told, often prayed first thing in the morning. Take a look at what Mark writes over in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. There he tells us that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And so Jesus often got up early to go out and pray. We also know from Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So not just in the morning, but sometimes in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever. Went off by himself. Sometimes Jesus prayed all night, especially when big decisions needed to be made. Like we read again over in Luke, this time chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13, when on one of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. And of course, the lesson is, whenever we want to make a big decision, we should pray and pray and pray about it, you know. Jesus not only prayed by himself, prayed in the morning, prayed anytime, prayed all night, but he also prayed with others. Like the time he took Peter, James, and John up with him to a mountain to pray. Again in Luke, this time in chapter 9 and verse 28. And of course, when he was asked, he taught others how to pray just like he prayed to the Father, like we read again in Luke, this time chapter 11, and verses 1 through 4, where Luke tells us that Jesus one day was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And so it only makes sense then that if our Lord and Savior was a man of prayer who also taught others to pray, that as his disciples, we should do the same. Now, I prayed before this sermon. I pray all the time. Everyone should pray. I was just reflecting upon probably in the past year at both here in Lincoln, I've probably done sermons on prayer probably at least twice already, both here and there. And I tell you, I don't think I've covered the same topic twice about prayer. There is so much that we could talk about when it comes to prayer. For example, prayer as a subject and discipline, I find is sometimes full of paradoxes. So let me talk about that just a little bit. Think about that. What I mean is that while prayer is often simple and basic, it's also filled with all kinds of complexities and nuances. And while prayer is sometimes put into words that are verbalized, it's also sometimes in our hearts and in our minds. And sometimes it's beyond our words or thoughts. And while prayer often requires lots of time and attention, persistence and patience, sometimes it's brief and immediate. Think about it. God knows, this is another one, God knows what we need before we ask. Yet, God wants us to ask and waits for us to ask. Still, even if you ask, God has a will and wants it to be done, and it will be done whether or not it's what you want or not, okay? Yet God works his will through our asking. Still, God promises to give us what we ask for, yet God reserves the right to say no or to give us something completely different. Prayerfully, it's better than what we asked for, and it often is. And so that all said, there are some paradoxes when it comes to prayer, right? You know, I'm not going to pretend that I know and understand all that there is to know about prayer. But I know a good deal of stuff, you know. At the same time, it's not going to stop me from preaching or teaching about prayer. It's not going to stop me from believing in the power of prayer. And it's not going to stop me from praying. Still, what should every disciple know and believe about prayer? It's hard to whittle that list down. Got a couple things, though, today. The first that we should all know and believe is that God hears our prayers. Now, the ultimate showdown of showdowns when it comes to prayer in the Bible, in my humble opinion, is between the prophets of Baal and the prophet of the Lord God Almighty, Elijah. One corner of the prophets of Baal, the other corner Elijah, holding up the banner of God, proudly displaying God. Thinking of the Olympics a little bit. Never mind. Okay. There in 1 Kings chapter 18, it is proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that God hears our prayers. But there are also specific verses elsewhere that tell us plainly that God hears our prayers. Take, for example, Psalm 17 in verses 1 and 6. Could read the whole psalm, but hey, you know, we only have so much time to do things, right? Anyway, there in this psalm of prayer, David in verse 1 says, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips." And then in verse 6, David says, "I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer." Clearly, David, a man after God's own heart, was able to pray to God with the assurance that God would give ear to his prayer, that God would hear his prayer. And as a disciple of Jesus, we can pray with that same confidence that God will hear our prayer. But what about those who aren't Christians who pray? Doesn't God hear their prayers too? Well, yeah, but it's a bit different. This is what Psalm 145 and verses 18 through 20 say, that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Now, we already see there's some contingencies there, aren't there? You have to call on him in truth. You have to fear him, revere him. In other words, you know, you need to be in a relationship with God that is proper for God to respond to your prayer in a likewise manner, okay? He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. You see, that's true of anyone who's not in the right relationship with God. They have made their choice not to follow God, therefore they already stand condemned rather than following Christ and choose life. So in this case, someone who's not a believer of God who prays, God will hear their prayer, but it depends upon how they're praying and what for and everything, just like us, but it's a different sort of relationship, you see. Anyway, that's Psalm 145 again, in verses 18 through 20. In other words, those who call on God in truth, those who call on God who revere him, God hears their cries. God hears the prayer of his people 100%. The Apostle John says it this way over in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. John writes, "This is the confidence we have." He says we as in Christians, disciples of Jesus. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in accordance to his will," if you don't have that underlined and you write in your Bibles, do that. "In accordance with his will, he hears us." Does that mean if I ask for a Lamborghini, God won't give it to me? If it's in accordance with his will, yeah, but if not, chances are not, okay? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And again, does that mean that if I ask God for a Lamborghini, that he's going to give it to me? Not if it's not accordance to his will, okay? Sometimes people think, well, I could just ask God for anything and he'll give it to me. It says so. No, it has to be in accordance to his will. Again, underline that. The point being that as disciples of Jesus, by the way, I don't like Lamborghinis. I'm more of a Maserati guy. The point being that as disciples of Jesus, we can have confidence that God hears our prayers because of our relationship with him and our knowledge of God's will. And we talked about that last week, right? How do we get to know God's will? The Bible. How can you know more about God's will? Read the Bible. Yeah. Okay, so God hears our prayers, right? And second, God answers our prayers. God answers our prayers because we are his disciples, because we are his children. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. By the way, there's a new 7-Eleven eventually coming down the street. When? I don't know. I always think of that when I look at this passage. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. I used to love Coke Slurpees. Not so much. Anyway, Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Here's the important part. "Which of you," Jesus speaking to the people in the crowd, the majority of them are going to be men and fathers, "which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone?" Only some mean evil dad, right? "I'm hungry, Father. Have a rock." "Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake?"
"Please, Father, might I have a fish?"
"Here, have a snake." You know. "If you then, though you are evil," Jesus says to this crowd, "know how to give good gifts to your children," so even people who aren't good and godly know that you don't give your kid a rock or a snake, right? "Even though you aren't good with God, you're going to give your kids right. He says, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, some people mistake this passage to mean that God will give his followers whatever they like, just like some kind of cosmic vending machine. But that's not what Jesus says here. What Jesus says is that God is like a good father who hears and answers his children's requests with what is good and right for his children. Another way to think about it is, Father, might I have a fish? Here, have a lot of candy. No. That's not good and healthy for the child. So you might say, but Father, I want candy. No, have this fish instead. But I wanted the candy. Sorry, you're getting a fish. And then you would say, well, God didn't answer my prayers because I wanted candy. No, God gave you what you need. Okay. That's very important when it comes to prayer. And so we are promised that those who ask receive, and those who seek find, and for those who knock, the door is open. But keep in mind again that the good father will not give his children things that will harm them or are against his wishes. Think about it this way. You got some underage kid that wants to go buy alcohol. Dear God, please let me be able to buy this beer. He's not able to do it. God, you let me down. Really? You follow? It's the same kind of thing, okay? God is not going to give us anything that's against his wishes. That's the way God answers his children's prayer. We don't always like that, but that's because we're children. And so if we are God's children, if we are Christians, and we have been faithful as his disciples, we can know that God hears our prayer and God answers our prayer. Remember, not always yes. The third thing that we should know and believe about prayer is that God can do more than we ask or imagine. That means that if you ask God for something like a loaf of bread, but he turns around and provides you a meal, you should be thankful for that. God did not give you what you thought you wanted, but he gave you more. Paul writes over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So, you ready? That's exactly what disciples of Jesus should believe. That our God is able to do above and beyond all that we dare ask or could possibly imagine. And all of this unbelievable and unimaginable stuff that God does, he does through his power that is already at work within us as his disciples, okay? That comes when we are baptized and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and we read and study his word and we're already engaged in other spiritual activities, and all of this is at work within us. And so when we pray to God according to his will for things to happen, if it's in accordance to his will, we are blessed by God in prayer. Will we always get what we want? No. Will God give us what we need? Yes. Will they ever be the same? If it's in accordance to his will, yeah. And so because disciples of Jesus know and believe these things about prayer, then we should always pray and not give up. Luke 18:1. Always pray and not give up. I prayed about that. Nothing ever. Pray again. Maybe pray in accordance with God's will more. And we should devote ourselves to prayer. Colossians 4:2. I pray on Sundays. No. Pray more than Sundays, okay? Pray every day. Pray multiple times a day. We should pray constantly, continually, or unceasingly, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We'll talk more about that in a minute or two. Because that last one, praying continually or unceasingly, brings up some questions. I always like to think about driving down the road, closing my eyes in prayer. Don't close your eyes. Drive and pray with your eyes open. So how do disciples of Jesus pray continually? Well, the easy answer is that we do it by making prayer a regular part of our natural lives. Someone once asked, keeping with that driving analogy, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Think about that. Just how often do you use your spare tire? Most of us, I would say rarely with today's tires. Maybe never. And if you do, it's only in case of an emergency. Do you view prayer like that? I rarely pray. Sometimes never. Usually in case of an emergency. And how often do you use your steering wheel when you drive? You use your steering wheel all the time when you drive. You just don't steer, don't let it go. You might have good alignment, but the road's not straight. Potholes are there. Forget the taxes. They're not fixing. You're going to hit something. You need to always constantly be adjusting. You're always using your steering wheel while you're driving, right? Well, that's how we need to use prayer. That's how prayer should be a part of our life. We're continually using prayer as we live, while living, okay? Again, God hears and answers our prayers, and when he does, God can do more than we ask or imagine. Now, because prayer is essential as a disciple of Jesus, and as a disciple we follow Jesus, just how can we pray more like Jesus? Well, let's start with the idea of concentrated prayer. I got three C's for you today. Concentrated prayer is the first one. And what that is a time of prayer, usually during our personal devotion time with God. And prayerfully, we should all realize that beginning the day with a time of devotion to in Bible study and prayer is something that every disciple of Jesus should be doing. Think about it. If you really want to grow in your relationship with God and really want to become spiritually stronger, then setting aside a regular time of study and prayer, time with the Lord and his word and time with the Lord in prayer, is something that every disciple of Jesus should do. Again, remember the example of Jesus that we mentioned earlier. Actually, a number of examples, right? One in particular, Mark 1:35, where we saw that Jesus regularly spent time alone with his Heavenly Father throughout his busy ministry. And many times, he did it first thing in the morning. Other times, it was throughout the day, and sometimes all night. Prayed with others. Now that said, our daily devotional time doesn't have to be just in the morning. Could be when you do lunch. Could be anytime. Could be in the evening. Could be before bed. I find praying before bed can be a little bit relaxing, so much so that the prayer never finishes. But that's another story. It could be anytime is the point, as long as you make the time to spend the time with God in his word and prayer. Now, we call this a concentrated prayer because this is the prayer that we want to include all kinds of things in, like praise and thanksgiving and confession and requests. And one way to remember that is with the acronym ACTS. I believe I shared that a long time ago. ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication or Requests. Actor doesn't make quite, you know, ACTS. Okay. ACTS, Supplication. And so make at least one prayer a day, usually that prayer during your personal devotion time, a concentrated prayer with ACTS, A-C-T-S. Now, in addition to times of concentrated prayer, it's also good for a disciple of Jesus to learn how to walk with God in the spirit of prayer throughout the day. Remember, driving with that steering wheel. In other words, that continuous prayer. That's our second C. And how that works is that, you know, we have this ongoing conversation with God, right? And it's going on in our minds and our hearts all throughout the day. For example, whenever we see or experience something good or beautiful, we could thank God for it. You know, I thank God I was able to breathe this morning and not have smoke. You know, I was thankful that we have been spared by fires around us this morning. At the same time, I also offered a prayer in my head to God for all those people who struggle from those fires. But that happened as just a part of my thinking this morning, you see. So it doesn't have to be down on your knees praying to God with some formal structure. This is a continual talking with God, okay? So that way, whenever we see something or think of something, we're talking with God. You know, maybe it's something else that we see. I tell you, I was at a grocery store last week with Timothy Braley's. And there was this guy, it was a dad, he had three kids. Woo-hoo. And these kids, man, all I can say is me and Tim were standing behind this little boy and girl behind, they were fondling the French bread. Let me just put it that way. And we were standing there, I stood there like this, looking at him. He turned around, they had one of these, and he put the French bread down. I said, well, we're not taking that one. So, but then I went over, waited in line. He's still there at the self-checkout with his kids. And I'm thinking, why are you doing self-checkout? Anyway, but his little son sitting in the cart threw a banana. No lie, threw a banana. I'm thinking, wow, this is cartoon life here. So meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, this guy needs help. But in the back of my head, even though I'm joking with Timothy about this a bit, there's a prayer going on, thanking God, man, you know, you need to strengthen this guy. You need, you know, help him to overcome. And a lot of people were just doing the same thing, kind of watching him, not saying anything. I felt like going over and picking up his kids and telling them to cut it out, but I'm not their dad, you know. So what can I do? Anyway, got to pray for those people, okay? Then there, I don't know, just lift them up before God, you know, in your hearts. Doesn't have to be anything verbal or expressed like that. And so continuous prayer, again, is talking with God as requests come to mind. Careful with the French bread at Raley's. Okay. The third kind of prayer that disciples of Jesus should learn and offer is our third C, a cursory prayer. And honestly, we're probably already really good at cursory prayers because a cursory prayer is a short, quick prayer, usually for something urgent and serious. And an example, you know, that might be, I don't know, maybe you're at work and your boss barges into whatever you're doing and he wants to confront you about something and he's angry. So, hey, you're in need of prayer. But, you know, again, you're not going to go down on your knees in prayer or, you know, fold your hands or whatever you do. But you need prayer. And so in your heart, again, you pray to God asking for help. It could be something else. I just gave you that example. It could be some other emergency that you're instantly faced with, right? Still, as a disciple of Jesus, these are just three kinds of prayers that we talked about today: concentrated, continuous, and cursory, to help us to build a stronger relationship with God and empower us to be the kind of disciples that Jesus wants us to be. You know, as a disciple of Jesus, we should always be ready to pray about everything with everyone wherever there is a need. The idea being that, you know, when we're with people, we can ask them if there's anything that we could pray about for them. And wouldn't that be a great way to disciples? We're always thinking about ways to engage people in conversation about the gospel. How about if you're with somebody, say, how you doing? I say, can I pray with you about that? And then you pray about it right then and there. You know, maybe it's the waiter who's serving nowadays. There's one person working at one restaurant doing the cooking, the cashier, and the waiting. And, you know, so pray for them. Let them know you're praying. Pray for them. Say, look, I know you're busy. Let's have a quick prayer. Maybe you're at the bank or wherever it is, or the cashier, and just offer a prayer. Maybe you're with your doctor or whatever. He's going to give you a shot, or can we pray? Let's want to pray about something. You're having all this trouble. I heard some interview on the news this morning with some nurse who's stressed out about all these patients dying because of COVID. That's an opportunity to pray with somebody. You know, whatever the situation is, wherever it arises, if someone pours out their heart to you about something, ask them if you could pray for them and ask if it's okay to pray right then and there, and then do it. Because disciples of Jesus pray. Okay, we started with a little story. Let's go ahead and wrap up with a story. This one's about a nightclub owner. And again, you might have heard this, might have shared it years ago. I don't know. But hey, I figure a lot of folks here are seniors. You probably can't remember breakfast. So here we go. It's about a nightclub owner who decided to build a raunchy night spot right next door to a church called Church of the Lukewarm. St. Lukewarm Church. That's a good name. St. Lukewarm Church. Well, the good folks at the church started a prayer vigil against the nightclub owners. And don't you know, the nightclub's business dwindled so much that they had to close their doors. And they shut down business. Well, you know, you think, hey, that's good news, right? Well, it wasn't, because the owner of the nightclub decided to bring a lawsuit against the church because he heard about them praying about them. And he accused the church of ruining his business with their prayers. Well, the attorneys for the church argued that there was no way that their prayers could have had any effect on the poor performance of the nightclub. And the judge agreed and ruled in favor of St. Lukewarm Church, saying, while the nightclub owner strongly believes in the power of prayer, the church membership does not. The lesson, may we never be like St. Lukewarm Church. May we always believe in God and pray believing that God will work. And when God answers our prayers, may we always give God all the glory and honor and praise. Now, while God hears our prayers and answers our prayers and can do more than we all ask or imagine, that kind of a prayer relationship is really between God and his disciples. And so while prayer is powerful, no prayer can save you from your sins. No prayer of salvation exists anywhere in the scriptures. Only Jesus can save you in the way that he has told us to be saved. And so if you aren't a disciple of Jesus, you can be, simply by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And coming up out of the water, you're born again. You have believed and been baptized, just like Jesus said to do in Mark 16:16. And he said, when you do that, you're saved. And so now that you're born again and you're now a Christian, you continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again or you go to be with him. For those of us who are already disciples of Jesus, may we be disciples of Jesus who pray regularly to our Heavenly Father and help others to seek out our Heavenly Father so that they can pray to him too. If there's anyone, of course, this morning who has the need to come forward, whether it's to share, seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.